Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to my Third Stream View show here on BBSRadio.com for Monday, November 29th. I'm your host, PK, and I'll be here with you for the next hour. And also, if you'd like to email me, you can contact me here at pkbbs2@gmail.com. That's pkbbs2@gmail.com. Once again, I'd like to thank my friend Don Nikoloff of the Evident Footprints program for helping me to produce my show and for his advice. And he'll probably be on a little later. I always like to have him on to give me some of his thoughts, and we're on the same page about a whole lot of stuff. In fact, I've noticed that on this network, there's a lot of the other hosts are deeply into spiritual things and I think holistic things and things like that. And even though I am not a spiritual person nor a religious person, and everything I advocate, which is individual freedom and the libertarian point of view, my take on the libertarian point of view, nothing that I stand for or believe in conflicts with any of the things that all these other wonderful hosts are up to in their belief system, because in my society they are free to speak their minds and sell their goods, of course, as long as nobody, you know, transgresses against anybody else's individual rights and their property rights. Because that's what individual freedom is all about. So, you know, I'm always under that big tent of liberty, property, and peace, which is also connected to free minds and free markets. One big thing in the news today is, oh, horrors. The last few days is Julian Assange, I believe his name is, with WikiLeaks is at it again. They've released 250,000 more documents that are detrimental to our people and to our troops and to government secrets. When I applaud this gentleman from Dianunda, I can speak like an Aussie if they want to. This is pulling the curtain back from the state, from government, because along with the internet, they cannot control, tweak, and stage things as easily now with this sort of information out there. It's harder for them to control the sheeple, many of the American sheeple, of which I myself am definitely not one of them. And that's why I continue to push the views that I push, which are which really center back on a secession. I've spoken about it before. And once the American people understand more about secession, I would hope that they too would advocate it for their states that they live in and their own areas, because if you agree as I do and you don't have any pipe dreams, you realize that Washington, D.C., the federal government, cannot be reformed regardless of who's in power. It's too big. It's, I would say, 95% at least beyond its constitutional boundaries. And it just continues to grow, and regardless of who's in power, Republican, Democrat, you know, the one government party with two wings or the one bird of prey with two wings, regardless of who's in power, the state continues to grow. The military-industrial complex continues to grow. Size of government grows. Taxes, regulations grow. And intervention overseas grows. Political and military intervention by the U.S. federal government continues to grow. And I like to bring up these facts again that I try never to say when I'm speaking about America, I never try to say America did or we did. I'm specific, because I ain't blaming the American people per se. I am blaming the federal government, which continues to mess up so much here at home and abroad. So you won't hear me saying we did this or America did this. I try not to use those two words, because that is not a clear explanation of who the forces in this power structure are the ones doing these sort of things. So I ask you to always to keep that in mind. And I've said this before, and I like to bring it up because I'm a drummer. this is where I tie this in. And any great musician will tell you that good drummers are consistent. You have to be consistent in your drumming to make things work musically for the band or whoever else you're playing with. So I take that concept of consistency here on my radio program. Therefore, back to patriotism. And I urge everybody to consider this view on patriotism. My patriotism, and I hope that your patriotism, is not about loyalty to the government, no matter who is in power. My patriotism, and I hope your patriotism and our patriotism, is toward the ideals, especially of the Declaration of Independence, of the Bill of Rights, and of the U.S. Constitution. And I'll be the first to admit that the Constitution is an imperfect document, especially because of the Welfare Clause and the Commerce Clause, which have been interpreted probably 98% out of proportion. And those are the two main cracks in the Constitution that I'm aware of. It's an imperfect document. I've rewritten my own version of it, which draws on the current Constitution, although it has much more chains tied to the government. And it prohibits corporate welfare and bailouts and crony capitalism, which those concepts immediately cut out so many of the lobbyist type groups in this case. Plus the fact that I always advocate that every state or every new territory should pay for its own public works, that is, its roads, highways, bridges. So let every state or newly seceded state or territory pay for its own public works. That way you don't have more of this circus going on in Washington, because Washington is just a very expensive middleman that takes our taxes and doles them out to its special interest groups. And special interest groups or pressure groups are something that confronts economics in a very negative way, unlike the other sciences, chemistry, geometry, physics, math, sciences. They don't really have special interest groups pulling on them for favors because, math and science and physics, it is what it is. If you want a special privilege, it ain't going to change the fact that 2 times 4 is 8 or, these principles of the physical sciences. So the physical sciences do not have these special interest groups pressuring them, as does economics. And by that I mean the government and its economic system being subject to the pleas and the demands of special interest groups, which only further complicates things and distorts the market process. I myself am a student of free market economics, especially Austrian economics, which I take with me in my everyday experiences, and I'm thankful to the Ludwig von Mises Institute for enlightening me to a lot of this stuff. I first heard the name of Ludwig von Mises when I was reading one of my favorite Ayn Rand nonfiction books, which is Capitalism, the Unknown Ideal. And I would see these quotes in there, and they were very straight ahead and easy to understand, and I thought, who is this guy? So by further research, I discovered Ludwig von Mises and the Mises Institute, which is the leading proponent of Austrian economics and bringing the ideas forward of our founders, Karl Menger, Eugen von Bauwerk, Ludwig von Mises, Friedrich Hayek, and our fellow travelers, the scholastic monks from, 16th century Spain. And you have some of the French economists, intellectuals, like Frederick Bastiat, and then this century, especially the late great Henry Hazlitt. So those are some of my heroes. That's why I call this show Third Stream View, because usually you only hear the left or right paradigm, whether it's on radio or the talking heads on Sunday and the major networks. So I am thankful to the internet and alternative radio and TV for bringing forth what they bring, and the opportunity for those of us who know that we can't trust the status quo to get our information. I monitor the status quo, and I would love to debate Rush and Hannity and this whole crowd. And again, I'm not a leftist. I don't believe in redistributing the wealth. As Ayn Rand said, a wealth has to be created before it can be, redistributed. So, I'm for the free market. I am not pro-business per se. I am pro-free enterprise. And there is a big difference right there, because true free enterprise does not advocate or believe in bailouts and crony capitalism. So I advocate, integrity and honesty. There's no perfect society. We live in an imperfect world, but we could make things a lot better if we had a simple rules and regulations and a philosophy to lead us forward, because, I like to say that philosophy matters. This show will always get my third stream take on things, the libertarian view as I see it. And it's subject to debate and criticism. I welcome that, but I will not back away from the ideals which I know are, good for society, good for the world. Not that I, in Obama type fashion, where I know that, darn it, national health care, that's good for everybody, and that's going to work and bring down prices. I mean, these sort of things are laughable, and I'm glad to see that some of his own party are turning on him now, and disillusioned with what he's doing, albeit often sometimes for the wrong reasons. But there you have it. So back to secession, where I've ripped off the phrase from the movie Wall Street, where he says greed is good, greed is right. I contend that secession is good, secession is right, and secession works. I would like to be the leader of a secessionist movement. I would like to get this ball rolling, because Americans can preserve their liberties, their traditions, their religions, their families in a decentralized, a more decentralized nation, and still have goodwill and trade with everybody else and friendliness, and still be an armed citizenry, is a polite citizenry. I'm very much pro-gun rights, very pro-gun ownership, but very anti-intervening politically in the affairs of other countries. Now, I'm all for trade. I am not, and I am totally against the globalist concept of trade, World Trade Organization, NAFTA, CAFTA, all these things which involve the taxpayers in these globalist funded schemes which are not free enterprise. A friend of mine told me that last year, he said, these globalist crowd, they don't really believe in free enterprise. Only when it happens to coincide or it suits them. And I'm partial to that point of view, because I see that that's how they do things. So in my world, our country or our newly seceded states or nations, we don't close the borders. We don't shut down trade. That's a foolish thing to do. We trade. We are very non-isolationist in terms of trade and goodwill and travel. We want to trade with other countries. We want freedom and liberty. But we don't want government-managed trade and control. That's what we are opposed to. That is not free market capitalism. So I will always speak against the perversion of capitalism. In fact, I have a couple of heroes. I actually have sort of three historical that I've become. One is kind of fictional, and I recommend everybody checking this out if you get a chance. And I saw it as a kid, and it was kind of scary at the time, and I didn't understand it at the time, but I liked the program, and it was about 1964. It was a Disney production, or Disney later funded it or was involved in it, but it was called The Scarecrow of Romney Marsh. And it was played by that fine, the late, great British actor, Patrick McGoohan, played the Scarecrow, who was, during the day, he was a vicar or a pastor in the south of England. And at night, he became a Scarecrow person, not a highwayman, not a thief, But he was smuggling goods into Britain because he didn't want, you know, the taxes of the king were high and that the tariffs on imported goods were high. So he helped smuggle goods in from France and Holland, and he used the revenues to help the English people in the south of England pay the taxes of the king and whatnot. And it turns out that during this period, I know it was a fictional story, but it's so well done, that these English people of the day, approximately the same era as our revolution, they too were fighting King George over high taxes and in much overbearing monarchy. So I've got a lot in common with where he's coming from. And I also love that TV show, the original one, again with Patrick McGowan, The Prisoner. I believe it was, 67 through 69 or something like that. The Prisoner, that I have a combination of The Scarecrow, him, and I'm a big fan of T.E. Lawrence from the movie. Not only Lawrence of Arabia, the movie, but I've, you know, read his book, Seven Pillars of Wisdom, and I like what he stood for, which has a lot to do with the Middle East today, what Lawrence stood for. So I see those three characters or individuals, I have a lot of their spirit within where I'm coming from, because I'm a radical, but I'm not a radical who wants to overthrow government and harm people and take their goods. I'm a radical for the free market, real honest free market capitalism, and very, very strictly limited government. I'm not an anarchist. I know this runs contrary to some of my Austrian friends. I think they're minarchists, or they understand an anarchist state, but everything I stand for, I'm, you know, solidly in their camp, and I just see a constitution that binds government down even much more than the current one does. And one thing that people should know about that is included in my secession solution is fully informed juries. And fully informed juries are a concept which should be deeply ingrained in our society, because actually juries should be the most powerful entity in a courtroom. I mean, the judge is the agent of the state, if you will, but the juries are made up of citizens and they represent citizens, the citizenry. Juries should be able to vote their conscience. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, rape, murder, armed robbery, those sort of things. I am not advocating that we turn violent criminals loose, but juries can overturn bad laws. They might not be able to change the laws, but they can overturn laws, just like they did during the slavery days, where they would often, you know, refuse to return fugitive slaves. They would nullify the law if you can. So jury nullification is connected to fully informed juries, where juries can nullify the law. For example, if I was called to do jury duty, let me tell you that, sorry, my mind is already made up in advance. If somebody is on trial for drug possession, the nonviolent criminal for drug possession or prostitution or gambling, in my mind, they're already not guilty. I will never vote to convict somebody for those so-called victimless crimes. As long as they are nonviolent people, I'm not going to clog up the courts. I don't want to see them thrown in jail. I don't want these stupid laws to exist. I don't want our taxes wasted on such ridiculous, judgments against people. So, and that's why they certainly don't want me. I mean, I've been called three times for jury duty, and the first time was for a murder case. Well, when they asked me if I had any negative views on owning guns or gun ownership, I said, well, I support the complete Bill of Rights. That was my answer. Well, guess what? They checked me off the list. They don't want anybody who knows anything. They want some pliable sheeple who you know, they have that patriotism they were taught, and they don't question authority, and they, you know, they just rubber stamp everything the government does. They say the Pledge of Allegiance, and they just think everything is fine. Well, I don't think everything is fine, and I know a lot of you don't either. So juries could do a lot to overturn bad law, just like they also did, in addition to slavery days, they did also during Prohibition, where they would often refuse to convict people for possession of alcohol or you know, trafficking in alcohol, which, you know, was legal till 1919. And then miraculously, whoa, by an act of Congress, it was illegal. So all these GIs, the doughboys coming back from Europe who fought for liberty and democracy, they come back, they couldn't even buy a drink legally in a bar. Nor could you buy a GI a drink because, miraculously, it was illegal. And briefly, what a lousy deal was Prohibition, how that deal was cut, because the Prohibitionists agreed to support the women suffragettes if they would support the Prohibitionists. So they got together and helped pass this stupid law, Prohibition, which led to thousands of people dying because of the crime involved, because of drinking bad alcohol, poisoned alcohol. So that was a terrible failure, and it brought the rise of organized crime, which later moved into the drug business, because then in 1937, which was about 4 years after Prohibition ended, then the evil marijuana plant was suddenly made illegal, and that got the drug war going up and rolling. So, my take on history has really evolved over the last several years, and that's why I really see the value in objective intellectual revisionism. And I'll be the first to say that good revisionism and good revisionists, we will not shy away from intellectual debate. We will not shy away from criticism and, really delving into examining the issues, because that's what it's all about. This about, let sleeping dogs lie. Well, you're just going to accept everything on face value and just believe what, the government-authored textbooks tell us from the public school system, so that's another way to indoctrinate people, too. I realize I cover a lot of topics, but a lot of things are very interrelated, and as a self-proclaimed free market economist, I have an overview of society and the way things are that I feel that my background and my study of these topics have given me the ability to see things like as I see them, which I'm more than happy to share with my listeners. That is my feelings about fully informed juries that our citizenry needs to know about them. And as expected, judges don't tell the people this. Because think about it, ladies and gentlemen. If we didn't have juries who couldn't vote their conscience, I mean, they could use a computer. And, let's hope they don't do that, because I would rather have, my peers out there. But I want my peers to be informed. And I've been saying for years that America's resting on its laurels. So, yes, we had many great things in the past, our industrial production, all this sort of thing. But things are changing now drastically. I saw an interesting show the other day that says it's kind of lining up some of the major competitors of quality goods, and those are going to hammer it out in the marketplace, are China and Germany. And I really see that happening. So that'll be interesting to see how that develops. But anyway, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, this Julian Assange, this person with WikiLeaks, all the networks are all railing against this guy. A lot of them are, and they're saying, "Oh, how he's going to harm everybody." Well, I think it's good that I applaud what he's doing, and I wish that the masses would see it in this third stream way, because he is helping bring down that curtain of government secrecy and the way that things are staged. Obama talked about a transparent administration. Well, let's bring it on. Here things are very transparent. I understand why there would have to be, you know, I guess some government secrecy, but now the whole thing is just a major, massive security state with these awful intrusions into our liberties, these pat downs, all this ridiculous stuff. And of course, it's always, well, to keep us safe. And you hear all the sheeple saying, well, I don't mind if it's going to keep us safe. You know, they're willing to give up more liberty. Like I think it was Franklin Warren, if you give up, those who are willing to give up, you know, their liberty for security, you know, are, you know, deserve neither. And that is happening. I see now, I saw that in Tampa, the cops and the TSA showed up to, they were patting people down at the bus stations, you know? So, terrorism is the new Cold War, and it is just an open-ended way to spend our money, to hurt us, to regulate us, and the American sheeple are just going along right with it because they, you know, I'm an American, I'm free. It reminds me of the story about our complacency about giving up our liberties. There's a story that this was used to criticize the welfare state. It's a parody, and I hope you like this story. I'm going to sort of paraphrase it the best I can. You know, I guess years ago, century ago or so, this farmer was trying to catch these wild pigs, and he wasn't having any luck. So someday a stranger came along, and he told the farmer, well, I'll help you pen these wild pigs. I'll help you do it. So what this fella did was every day he'd throw some acorns out there and, you know, feed the pigs a little bit, and they got more used to being fed sort of on a daily basis. They didn't have to go out and root for themselves. So he kept that up for about a week, and they got more comfortable with him being around, bringing out the food and just, you know, his presence. So he slowly started to build a fence, took his time building a fence. And, of course, you folks see where this is going. You know, in a short amount of time, that fence encircled those wild pigs, and they became captive. So that's how I see the state doing that to our country, where it just continues to grow. It takes more of our liberties. It's putting up more cameras everywhere, all in the name of protecting us from terrorism. And, you know, the cops are going right along with this. I can't believe it. It just saddens me to see all these cops going right along with this. I mean, I got a real problem with cops. We need cops in our society, but I just think that so many of them, to me, seem poorly educated, willing to enforce bad laws and not question anything and just keep going along and making this, you know, evil system, which is getting worse, just continue to flourish. And people are giving up their rights, and, you know, it's just awful. So I'm glad to see some pushback against this awful TSA stuff, which, you know, TSA, by the way, I've redefined it of thousands of a-holes, thousands of stupid a-holes, or thousands of sexual aggressors. So, and their whole thing about keeping us safe, well, how many senior citizens have been found guilty of terrorism in our airports? How many seniors? Boy, I see those 80-year-old people, 75- to 90-year-old people at the airports. I sure am glad they're patting them down and winding them because, gee, so many senior citizens, they must really be wanting to, you know, plant bombs. And then you see the young families with the mother and her kids, you know, searched. Now, how many young moms, young families with their children have a terrorist track record? So I'm all for profiling. I don't have a problem with that. I've always heard that it's quite often young Muslims between the ages of 17 and 40 are some of the main, you know, people who do these sort of things. However, a lot of this stuff has been enabled and staged by the CIA. So whenever I hear of a new terrorist event, I often wonder, well, did they stage this too? And there's like a lot of half-truths involved in this because they shadow these people, and some of these people may be up to things, but then the CIA and or the FBI, they further things along to justify their existence and more control and more scare us more with more terrorism. So people confuse, you know, accuse this, some of this thinking of as conspiracy theory. Well, you know, here at Third Stream View, I'll be the first to tell you that I reject all this nonsense. you know, on Third Stream View, on this show, there is no political correctness or censorship. And I especially reject these specific words, you know, and the usual tired act, you know, their usual tired accusations, which I think are very intellectually cowardly. These words specifically: racism, anti-Semitism, hate speech, conspiracy theory, and unpatriotic. You know, those are the kind of terms and terminology that the status quo uses of both stripes, you know, left-right, the left-right paradigm. They try to use that to shut down dissent and debate. Well, that ain't working here, and I urge all of you to reject those terms too, especially in terms of objective intellectual research and discussion. And by that I mean that it's also free of hatred. I mean, I'm critical of many things, especially Zionism, Israel, Jewish power. But the groups that I criticize, and I'll always repeat this, the groups that I criticize, or people that I criticize, or nations that I criticize, my following point of view or sentence is not connected to "they must die" or "kill them" or "take their rights away." No. Mine is always an expose on power, regardless of who wields it and who yields it. So, you know, that's where I'm coming from. What else did I want to mention? I know I'm jumping around, but back to this WikiLeaks. I think in the long run, this is a good thing because it's chipping away at state power, and that's something that I'm very into, chipping away at state power. A lot of people are, you know, down on corporations and big business, and I'm critical of them, but I'm not critical of them per se. I'm critical of their cozy partnership with government when they get protection and their politically connected industries. That is not free market industries, but I'm not anti-corporate per se. I don't believe in corporatism, which Obama really espouses. People call him a socialist. Well, he's more of a Mussolini-type socialist, a corporate socialist, where the line is blurred between business and industry, which opens up more corporate welfare and state capitalism, corporate socialism, more of the perversion of the free market and free market capitalism. That is not what libertarians advocate. We understand that markets have to be free, that businesses have to be free to produce, that businesses fail, just like individuals fail or children might fail at this or that, but you look at your failures and you improve and you make corrections and you move ahead. And in a real free market society, for example, when GM folded, it should be allowed to go bankrupt. It could be bought out by competitors. It could be bailed out by banks, but never by the taxpayer. This is the path that our country should go down in terms of ending the corporate welfare, ending subsidies, ending protectionism. But businessmen learn to tweak the system so they become part of the problem. And that is where a lot of criticism of corporations comes from, because people see the effects of what certain businesses might be doing, but they don't notice probably their cozy connection with government, which gets them there in the first place, especially protectionism and able to exclude competitors. Because in a real free market, competitors, there has to be no barriers to market entry. So if somebody else wants to set up a business and produce, the existing businesses cannot go to government and use the power of the state to exclude competitors. Because when you can exclude competitors, we all suffer in terms of choices and prices. So let me see if my friend Don is around. Hey, Don, are you out there?
Unfortunately, yes. No.
Unfortunately? How am I doing so far?
Oh, you're doing great. You're covering a lot of ground, a lot of different topics.
Covering a lot of ground. What do you think about this evil Wikipedia leaks? Well, sorry, WikiLeaks. What do you think about that?
Well, I have mixed feelings about it. They had the first episode, and it got a lot of attention, especially on the mainstream media. Mainstream never pays attention to what's going on in the internet, but that they had to come out with, you see. So it
forces their hand, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And they're doing the same thing here in this situation. So they're trying again, and they're implying that this somehow violated national security. Well, who's the idiot releasing the documents? Who's really leaking the documents? Don't blame the one individual with the website. Look at what's going on. If this is really happening, okay?
Are you saying there might be some enlightened Americans who are contributing to this information, who are, you know, bucking the state?
Or the whole thing is a psyop, is what I'm saying. The mainstream is covering it. If it was an embarrassment, the mainstream wouldn't be putting it out. Okay, so they're trying to direct everybody's thinking. This is the beginning of totalitarian internet.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm a fan of that soldier, that young fellow. I think, unfortunately, I think he's down there in Cuba, who initially posted a lot of this stuff over. I think he was in Afghanistan at the time. I think a young, rosy cheek kind of army guy. I forget his name. You know who this kid was?
No.
I think he's still in jail. He blew the lid on this, I think, earlier this year or last year, but he's still in custody.
Well, yeah, that's an easy way to get the guy out of the way so nobody can ask him any questions.
Yeah, he's active. He was active duty when this happened. You know, he's realized what was going on.
Well,
that's why I'm a fan, Don, and you probably are too. A lot of these Iraq veterans against the war.
Well, I'm for anybody who's against war. Let's put it that.
Well, yeah, and of course, you know the Pat Tillman story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Killed by those evil Iraqis. So then it was friendly fire. And apparently there's a movie about that his family's put together because they stood up to the army. They stood up to the military. Apparently, you probably heard this, Pat Tillman was about ready to go public on some of this when he started to see what was going on. And he was, you know, he took a step back. Whoa, wait a minute. You know, this illegal war, I don't like what I see here. I don't like what's going on, you know. I left my highly paid NFL gig to join the army, and it ain't like it seems.
Poppy fields. You know.
Yeah, amongst other things. So, and the pipeline, I guess. So, there's shades of hope here and there for our side in bucking the system and standing up to the status totalitarianism.
Yeah, I agree. Going back to this WikiLeaks thing, the fact that, you know, they're talking about 250,000 pages of right. documents were released. How does one acquire all of those unless someone is intentionally letting them out, you see?
True, Don, but yeah. At the same time, there's the possibility that there could be a mole on our side, right?
Yeah, but that's a little bit too MI6 and James Bond.
You see a psyops thing then?
Yeah, I do. Nothing with it makes any sense.
Right.
You know, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if MI6 wasn't involved in this, too.
Well, they usually work with CIA and Mossad together, right?
Yeah, all these agencies are interwoven together. It's a web.
Right.
So
they could be, you think they could possibly be orchestrating this?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing that this guy is posting that I'm interested in. I don't feel a compulsion to go to his website and read these documents.
Yeah. I've heard of a lot of it's just like embarrassing to bureaucrats and diplomats, this kind of stuff. I don't know if there's a lot of serious meat and potatoes in there about, you know.
What to do is start talking about the Franklin cover-up and that's embarrassing to him too.
Yeah.
And it gets right to the heart of some of the problems that we have here. Not a website in another country. I mean,
true.
You know, they've got everybody looking everywhere except where the stuff is happening.
So do you see internet censorship on the horizon?
Well, this could be a pretext to use it as an excuse. This is like the attack on the USS Liberty. This is like the Gulf of Tonkin incident, I think, more than anything.
Uh-huh.
And, well, you know, now that the real records are coming out about that, it's obvious that it may not have even occurred.
But the Gulf of Tonkin?
Yes.
Oh, that was BS. Yeah. In fact, didn't McNamara almost admit as much or as such?
Yeah.
That it was staged, the attack on the Maddox, you know, there wasn't that little torpedo boat or whatever, these little torpedo boats. And at the time, as I understand it, and I read this in a military magazine, that the Navy and the federal government was involved with the South Vietnamese. They were conducting raids into North Vietnam. They were tweaking, they were pinpricking that country. And then the backlash came.
Yeah. There's a history of this stuff, and you can look at any world war. It was always started on a predetermined pretext that only a handful of people knew about. But if anyone was really paying attention to everything that was going on with all the different elements of the military, one could see that they were already geared up to go to war.
I don't know about that, Don, because, you know, last week I bought my Korean Rosetta Stone book because I'm learning Korean because I'm going to go over and volunteer to help fight the North Koreans.
Well, now they're talking. Somebody proposed that they actually merge the two countries together like they did with Germany. See, now they only have one government to deal with instead of two.
Well, I know there was a lot of people wanted that for better economics, for better times. But the North, they just – I blame the South and I blame the federal government and Japan and whoever else for enabling the North. They rattle their sabers. Then they get free handouts from the more capitalistic countries, if you will, foreign aid, food, fuel. Every so many years they do that. Well, I would just cut them off completely. There's no need to go to war or shoot at them. I just cut them off and say, you know, you want to enjoy your Marxist paradise? Well, then you go ahead. But we're not giving you anything. We'll trade with you, but you're not going to get any subsidized good. I mean, Don Nikoloff taxes ain't going to go pay for you. That's your problem. You want to impose that on your people? Let the people revolt and overthrow your damn government. So I don't, you know, it's just not worth going to war. And Uncle Sam sending his big ass fleet over there, and I can see why China's annoyed. You know, these war games over there. What does that have to do with our borders? I mean, if they turn their back on Washington's admonition about, you know, not entangling alliances and all this stuff. I know we live in a different world now and we're interconnected, but we don't need to be sending the fleet over there and conducting war games to upset other countries. It's ridiculous and expensive, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's all a racket. In fact, the big racket, and it's probably what's got the Chinese upset, is all the shenanigans with the money.
And that too. And you know what else? Here's my solution, because this show is hopefully solution based too. So give you this in a nutshell, Don. And here's my term in a non-interventionist way of dealing with this North Korean problem. You leave one or two U.S. ships over there in the South China Sea or the Sea, or I don't know which sea it is around Korea. I do know geography. I know where it is. I don't know what the sea is. You leave a ship or two there. If they ever shoot up any missiles or nukes, you can just knock them down. End of story. You don't have to send a huge force. You just, you know, you could knock them down. Or Japan could have ships to knock them down. But that's it. You know, you're not sending troops. You're not in da-da-da-da-da, you know. Don't you think that would be a good solution?
Well, it's one solution.
Right, and in addition to cutting them off, no more, you know, tax-funded bailouts for you guys.
Well, we can get into any aspect of this, but everywhere you look, somebody's making money. This is all about making money.
Right.
That's all it's about. And in the process, they like to have some fun and murder a few million people and and drink some blood and, you know, have a satanic celebration of some sort or another.
Wow. And a funny thing.
While
true.
They cock their next episode.
And the funny thing is that Kim Il-sung, whatever his name is, of course, his father was the leader before him. Now he's appointed his third son. And
I think is it Kim Jong-il?
Yeah, Kim Jong-il. Right, thanks. But the irony of that whole thing and the hypocrisy of it is that, I don't know if you're hip to this, but Marxism does not allow hereditary lineage. So a Marxist leader cannot then have his son become Marxist leader. And here you got a third one coming into play, which is contrary to the dictates of Marxism. So they don't even get Marxism right.
Well, the Marx brothers were allowed to have their siblings be a part of their...
Well, I'd rather have them. I remember that country they had that was at war. I forget that show when they had that going on. I can't remember there was a country whose leader over taken over. But, you know, that heck, I would prefer that.
Well, there was an opening there, Fred. I had to take it.
Yeah. Well, I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
Threw us totally off topic, but
yeah, back to the WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
Sort of where we were.
You know, they made a big deal about extraditing this guy. You remember, I think it was maybe around 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago, a guy in England, Gary McKinnon, was online, they said. Of course, they didn't say where his computer was, but he was online and he got into the Pentagon's computers.
Oh, and they wanted to bring him over here to prosecute him.
And evidently... and I think NASA was part of it, too. So he got into all of the, let's say, the Star Wars stuff and who knows what else. Yeah, and they wanted to extradite him for trial over here. And yet, do we really know all the facts?
No, and I'm glad you brought that up, Don, because I haven't heard anything about that. Do you have any info on that?
He was supposed to be going through some sort of a trial, criminal trial in England. And I didn't hear anything about it.
I haven't either.
I heard that last announcement. I just think, again, it's a psyop. It's designed to come up with ways to demand that there's more control. All the while, they have the control. They're just making it, carte blanche.
Right.
That they can control everything. And sometimes you think they do this because certain countries block our websites. And I suppose they take offense when they're trying to sell stuff. You see, look at all the goods that are being sold on certain websites. And you can pretty much tell why they never go down, because too many people are making money off of the products that are being sold.
You mean like, just honest trade? You mean that sort of thing? Products? You mean like Don's CD or, music or...
Well, I think if you write a book, I think it's legitimate to sell your book.
Sure.
But I start to cringe. It becomes like watching TV. Like they're selling drugs. They're selling cars. They're selling all kinds of products and services that people really don't need. And
on the internet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And often, you'll see this on a Patriot site. And I think I mentioned this, something like this, in Drew Rain's show this afternoon, is that people are drawn to certain websites because of the message, but they're not really even thinking through why they're there. So they become affected by advertising. They don't want to take down the internet because they're making lots of money. The internet has served for a good 15 years or more, maybe 18, 20 years before it became available to the general public, they were setting up the infrastructure for money laundering. And that's there. I mean, you find it over and over again. It's become a central aspect of my journalism and my research.
Well, I don't have a problem with people selling goods. I mean, you're talking about this commerce. I don't like the military industrial complex, the tax supported, all that sort of thing. I don't have a problem with commerce. Money laundering, I thought that was something that governments do.
Well, it is. It is. But, it's government taken over by organized crime. So really, this is organized crime, and it's allowed to continue because of who's participating in it.
Well, it's the federal mafia.
Yeah.
If you're a tax eater, a government employee, that is, then you're not only part of the problem, but you got your little safety zone there. You're part of the state. You're one of the good guys. You're a loyal patriot, yeah. with a government job.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And government doesn't create any wealth. It only destroys it or redistributes it. So that's the problem I see.
Earlier, Fred, at the top of the show, you had mentioned Austrian economics, and of course,
correct.
You mentioned this on a couple of your other shows. I think you should do a show explaining the concept to people. Really explain it, because you say Austrian economics, they think, is that Austria during the Olympics?
Well, yes, and of course, most Americans realize, Don, that Austria is where the kangaroo comes from.
Yeah, that's right. They're up there skiing in the mountains of Innsbruck and Kitzbühel, I'm sure. Well, Fred.
Yeah, that's a good idea, yeah.
You're going to have to start wrapping here in about 3 minutes, so you might want to make some sort of a closing remark, and I want to thank you for having me on the show. And
thanks for coming on again, Don. Thanks for your help, your input. And thanks for that idea about Austrian economics. That's something near and dear to me. I am not as well deep into it as some of my mentors are, although I might bring some on or get them interviewed. I might get this going in the near future to have some other guests on to help further formulate these concepts, because I want the masses to be able to grasp it. And Austrian economics is not all about charts and graphs and math. It's about practical solutions that deal with human action, which thinking individuals do, the choices they make, accompanied with sound money, which means we're very critical of the Federal Reserve. And at no time since the rise of Ron Paul has the Fed had its back against the wall as much as it does right now. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Lou Rockwell has recently said, the head of the Fed, the head of the Mises Institute, that he made the remark that the Federal Reserve recently printed up or created the bonuses for Wall Street. It's unbelievable what they're up to. So it's just interesting to be able to talk about all this stuff, and I enjoy our conversations and bringing this information forward. So I look forward to our next conversations. I'm here on Monday evenings, 9 o'clock Pacific, 12 midnight, and 11 p.m. Central. And I'm always thankful to our listeners for tuning in, and I wish them all a good evening, and I welcome them back next week, and I hope that they're enjoying where we're coming from, because it's fun to have this third stream view, which you're not hearing on the regular networks, which I monitor so I can continue, bringing the information that I bring. So we cover a lot of things, and I'm jumping here and there, but that's how my mind works. So hang on for the ride, because it's a good one.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on, Fred, and I'm going to say good night to you.
Good night to you.
Look forward to seeing you next Monday.
All right, thanks again.
I'm at the end.